And turn to Luke 18, Luke chapter 18. Thank God for Calvary.
Yeah.
Thank God we don't go that way no more. Luke chapter 18. As you turn to this chapter deals with Jesus in prayer, especially so much in the first part over here. Key verse would be verse 27, where he said, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." There are things that you can't do that God can.
Right.
And if you say, "Well, I can't create the world," no, God will take care of your situation.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we don't let him take care of our situation. We're trying to scheme and call people and figure things out. I got pastor friends that, bless their heart, they'll try to call everybody in church before they make a decision. They just need to make one call, and that's that way.
That's right.
Do what God says, and it'll be okay.
Amen.
And you say, what about controversial things? Well, isn't everything controversial nowadays?
Yeah.
You can't blow your nose in a public place without somebody thinking you blew COVID all over them or something.
Right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But as we look in verse number 1 of chapter 18, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" As we look in this passage of Scripture, I want to preach to you on who gets their prayers answered. Who gets their prayers answered? Somebody's getting their prayers answered. Are you getting your prayers answered? Who gets their prayers answered? And as we look at this in verse number 1, we got the declarations of answered prayer here. And we start off with the insistence our Lord speaks of. He says to do it like this. Here's the method of the parable right here. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." There's the method. He's going to take the earthly story with a heavenly meaning and try to draw them in and show them how they can get this thing done. I like it when a message is not a rebuke. Sometimes it's help. This is a big help right here. And as I look at it, he shows who the members of the parable are. Now, all you secular feminists, look up here at me. I knew you'd look your heads up when I said that. Listen to me. You feminazis, listen to me. Does your Bible say men right there? Does it say men?
Yep.
So is that talking to you? Well, here's how we define it. If you'll notice, it deals with a man and a woman in this passage of Scripture. So when it says men, it means everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Why do these new Bibles change it? Because they've given in to the bra-burning crowd of the 60s. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
It should say everyone. Yeah, y'all like that. It says all men are sin. Then y'all say, yeah, that's you men. I know how that works. You got to use every word in its context and define words in context.
Right.
And by this, it's talking about everybody.
Right.
That's just funny. That's a secular feminist and all the women looked up. Y'all kill me. They shouldn't be one of you sitting here.
All right.
So that's why I said feminazis after y'all looked up. So y'all, if you wasn't already looking, you did then.
Come on.
Don't cross your eyes at me, little girl. I'll come down there. I'm just kidding, Daddy. Don't get up. She wasn't. Put your belt back on. It's okay. You got to joke with people, man. They get all tore up and everything. But I was looking at that and I thought, man, ain't that something how the Bible encompasses everybody in that statement? So everybody's in this parable.
Right.
Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, you want your prayers answered?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want your prayers answered? He says this. He said they ought to always pray and not to faint. So the message of the parable is this. The message is to keep on praying.
Amen.
If you have somebody in your prayer list that's lost, don't ever stop praying and say, I think they're of a reprobate mind and they can't get saved.
Ooh.
Don't stop. You know why? They're still breathing.
Right.
Do you know how many people give up on me before I got saved? Boy, they called me everything but a white man. Give up on me. They want to put me in mental institutions, prisons, all this other stuff. They wouldn't no help from me till Jesus helped me.
That's right.
And listen, after I got saved, I had two or three people come to me, and I didn't even know they was doing it. It was praying for me. One of them told me one time, he said, I've been praying for you for over 20 years to get saved. One of them said, I've been praying for you for 10 years. I said, thank God somebody looked through. Well, I got baptized when I was 14 and saw through that and saw my wicked lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and all that sin and said, you know what? I heard what you said, but I see what you do, so I'm going to pray God save you. And they kept it to their safety. And they kept praying, and then God did something. And the insistence of our Lord is this, is not to faint. Don't give up. Don't give up on people when you're praying for them.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't give up on you. You say, well, I'm saved. But God, you was a rascal before you got in.
That's right.
Can you imagine the people you know that's sitting in this building, the people gave up on, but there's somebody that didn't.
Amen.
How about that?
Sure.
I mean, some wicked people, ungodly people, and somebody didn't faint.
Amen.
And I noticed not only the insistence of our Lord is the declaration of answer prayer, but then we get the incident our Lord speaks of. He starts off telling us in verse 2 about this disconnected judge. He said, verse 2, saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. This judge wasn't worried about the word of God, wasn't worried about what God said, and it says about him he didn't fear God, but on the other side of it, he didn't care what people thought about him either. You may be like this man, or you will probably know somebody like this man. They usually identify themselves with this: I don't care what people say about me. You don't? I believe you do. I believe you're lying, and I'm going to prove it to you. So how are you going to prove it? I don't know. What is it you won't do in front of people? Oh, that. So you do kind of fear people a little bit. You worry about what you say about you.
Mm.
What is this you don't want told on that you keep saying is a secret? That thing.
Mm.
Then there is something you're regarding there, right?
Come on.
Wait, so you're somewhat like this man. So, but I do fear God. Well, that's good for you. Because listen, 90% of this people in this world do not fear God. They don't fear him at all.
Right.
The reason they don't, they've never been taught the Bible at all.
Yeah.
They don't know Jesus as their Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no clue what fearing God is.
Right.
When the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, he went to a house down in Florida where he pastored at. He walked up to a lady, knocked on the door, and he got to talk to her about the Lord, about getting saved. When he got the part about going to hell, she said this. Whoa, she said, no. God don't send people to hell. He said, ma'am, I don't know who you're talking about. The God of the Bible sends people to hell for rejecting
right.
Jesus. Not my God, she said. He said, then you got the wrong God.
Right.
She didn't fear God.
Yeah.
Jesus said, fear him who's able to kill both the body and soul in hell.
Yep.
And see, when people get to thinking about hell, they say, well, I'll accept Jesus and give me some fire insurance. He's not selling fire insurance today.
Right.
You know what fire insurance really does? Fire insurance replaces a frame of your house and your belongings inside. But they cannot replace your memories. But on the other side, they can't do it. Fire can't do away with your memories. When you go to hell, listen, when you go to hell, you keep all your memories and them you forgot about. They go with you. You say, well, I'll die and burn up in hell. You won't burn up in hell because he that created you will make sure you die forever in hell. That feeling of dying that everybody dreads to go to, that continues in hell.
Yep.
God's not selling fire insurance.
Yep.
That's not what he's doing. But I see that disconnected judge, he didn't fear God, he neither regarded man. But then this lady shows up, verse number 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. She didn't say, would you please? What'd she say? Avenge me. She demanded it of him. Why? Because whatever was done to her was against the law. And because it was against the law, she went the right path and went to the court and said, avenge me of my adversary. She goes into the unjust judge and he hears the case and he don't fear God. He don't regard her. He don't care. He got a golf game tomorrow at 2 o'clock. He ain't worried about that.
Mm.
Got a doctor's appointment Tuesday at 9. He ain't worried about her. Writes her name on a piece of paper, looks at what she's filed, does all this. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me. But then in verse number 4 and 5, we see the disgusted action he takes. It says, verse 4, and he would not for a while. We're not told how long this time it is, but then it says, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.
Yep.
It didn't matter if he was on the golf course. He was about to hit that ball, and he looked over, and there's somebody holding up a sign, avenge me of my adversary. He walked out, listen, he walked out to his doctor's visit on Tuesday, and there's a lady standing in the parking lot, avenge me of my adversary. He walked out of the thing. He thought, well, I'll go have a lunch with my buddies over there. And he called up his lawyer buddies, and they all went to have lunch. And the waitress handed him a card and said, listen, this somebody gave me this to give to you. And he looked at it and said, avenge me of my adversary. She was all over him about this stuff, just continually. Every time there's a filing in court, there's one of them, her name on it, and it said, avenge me of my adversary.
Right.
She just would not go away.
Right.
Let me ask you this question. Do you see the picture being painted here so far? The incident our Lord speaks of is the parable that he gives here about somebody worrying a man to death wanting to answer for something.
Yep.
Does God know who you are? Of course he does. If you got saved, he's got your name written down. He knows every hair on your head. He knows all about you. He not only knows your birthday, he already knows when you're going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In between that, this time and that time, though, are you constantly doing this to him? You know how you get attention in my house? You ring the doorbell. And if I'm taking a nap, that's fine. I got 2 four-legged alarms go off as soon as that thing gets hit. That other one's learning to bark now. She's big and it sounds like a horse in there barking. Got her DNA back and I thought it'd say Great Dane. It's had Beagle mixed in there with Super Mud. I thought, Lord have mercy. That's why I'm about 3 o'clock in the morning. Sounded like a hunting dog in her living room. I punched Lisa. I said, we got another dog in there. There's a beagle in there. Go get it, honey. Run out the door, and it's that dog. You get to mixing all that up, you come up with something. Now listen to me. You ring that doorbell, them 2 alarms going to go off. The mail lady rung it the other day, and I finally got to the door. I had to grab that big old dog and sling her back. She wouldn't get back. She won't know who's at the door, too. She wouldn't have done a thing if the door had been open and the male lady standing there. She had just wanted to play and all that other stuff. I had to get her back and shove her back and get out there. And that lady said, I didn't know this was going to cause that much trouble. I said, man, when you walked up, they smelled you. I said, there's already at the door like this waiting for that doorbell to ring. Now, you figure that thing out, how that dog knows some other side of it. I don't get that stuff, but they do it all the time. And all this is going on, and listen, you ring that doorbell, you got my attention, because there they come. Here I come, or Lisa or somebody, and we come to the door. But listen, we go in prayer, we need to be knocking on God's door like that too.
Amen.
We need to be letting him know. Matthew chapter 7 says we ask, seek, and knock. We continually ask, we continue to seek, and we continue to knock. Why? We know he's got the answer.
Yeah.
On the other side of that door in heaven's where the answer is.
Right.
The answer to your prayers, dear friend, is not on this earth. It is in heaven.
Yeah.
That's where the answer to all the prayers are. That's where the temple is in heaven. That's where the altar is, where Jesus is sitting at that prayer altar in the right hand of God. That's where he's sitting there praying those prayers to God the Father, but you got to pray him so he'll relay them. And when he relays them, God answers them. The only problem is, God don't have one of these to look at and say, oh, it's the 16th at 11:34. Let's wait. No, he just answers it whenever it's the perfect will of God to answer it.
Right.
We don't understand that because we're human.
Yeah.
Why not now, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
He just gave you a parable saying to keep doing it.
Amen.
Because I don't know when he's going to answer it, but I know if I find me something in this book that says he wants to do a certain thing, that's what I'm going to pray. Do you ever notice on your Wednesday night prayer list, there's verses wrote down beside him things? We want to pray them back to God so God will have his perfect word prayed back to him. We got the perfect promises prayed to a perfect father, and he'll answer them in his perfect time. And he gives us this incident because this widow troubleth me. This widow troubleth me. What is she doing? She's worrying him to death. If she had money, he'd see billboards on his drive home every day.
Yep.
I'm telling you, she was worrying this man to death. And he said, because of her continual coming, I am going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. Now listen to this. The third declaration about prayer, look at verse 6, is the information our Lord speaks of. He says in verse 6, he says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He is redeemed is in verse 7 because he says this, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which shall cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them. The information our Lord speaks of in reflection of that unjust judge, but in reflection of the redeemed, he says this. He said, there they are, the elect of God. And he points out there, shall not God avenge his own elect? That's his children.
Yeah.
Let me teach you something about God's elect that you won't get taught anywhere else in the world unless they preach it right from the Bible. No opinion of man, all of God. There are several things called elect in the Bible. Okay? He's got an elect nation, that's Israel.
Yep.
Okay? That's the apple of his eye. Mm-hmm. He's got an elect son.
Yep.
That's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an elect people, that's the redeemed.
Yep.
If you're worried about whether or not God elected you, can I teach you a little something today? The call went out to everybody. Those that responded are his elect.
Yep.
You say, can you explain that? No, and neither can you.
Yep.
That's just God. See, these people trying to figure out who God's elect are, you know what the problem is? Their children's always included and yours aren't.
Mm.
It's like they know more than God. I'm amazed that that crowd is that arrogant.
Yeah.
I am totally amazed. But what I do know is this. If God says they're elect, then there'll be something happening to them people that's not happening to the rest of this world.
Yeah.
You want me to show you what it is? I mean, they predestined, right? Look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to come back over here to the unjust judge. I want to show you this. Romans chapter 8. It's amazing what you'll see when you just read it in the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know, see, when you know something, you know something. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And they'll stop right there and wax that eloquent about the predestination of God, that being one of the doctrines of grace and blah, blah, blah. And they'll never give you the rest of it. Did you see that word right there, predestinate? That's a current tense word. Did he predestinate? There's an action going on. Watch this. Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So when God saved you, he saved you because you're called according to his purpose, according to his person, and according to his plan, and his plan is for his elect to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you something here to blow your mind. You'll shout these first three, you'll identify with the rest of them, and then you get mad at me, but don't get mad at me. You're not called to be a thug for Jesus.
Right.
You're not called to be a criminal for Jesus.
Right.
You're not called to be a hillbilly for Jesus. You're not called to be a redneck for Jesus.
Right.
You are called and saved to be conformed to the image of Jesus.
Right.
And what kills people is they get saved. They think they're going to continue on the same thing they are. That ain't God's plan for you.
Yeah.
I've watched God save people in this church and them change because God changed them. Why? It was the plan the whole time.
Amen.
I look at how God changed them. I look at where God changed them from. And thanks to Calvary, they don't go that way anymore.
Right.
See, the information our Lord speaks of is about the redeemed of God. God saved them. God changed them. And God avenges them, according to Luke chapter 18. Right. Have you had anybody do you wrong? Guess what? You ain't got to do a thing.
That's right.
Look over at chapter 12 of the same book of Romans. Chapter 12. What did he say over there? He said, shall not God avenge his own elect? We go to run these words through the Bible. We find them in a strange place over here. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Right.
What do we do until then? Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen to this. I look at this thing and I see that the Lord says his redeemed, they live a certain way and they don't have to pay back nothing because that's all of God the Father to pay it back. In case you hadn't done it today, happy Father's Day, Lord.
Amen.
See, this thing that people come up with where they say, well, I've got a plan to get them back. God don't want your plan. He's not even interested. He don't know the details. You know why? He's going to operate on his whether you do or not.
Yep.
And when he says, I'll take care of it, he will take care of it.
That's right.
Back over to Luke 18 over here. Listen, back over to Luke chapter 18. He said, shall not God avenge his own elect? And here's where he'll do it. Which cried day and night unto him. Let me ask you something, Christian. When you pray, do you cry?
Come on.
God sees your tears. God's looking. God's listening. And listen to this. He listens to this stuff.
Yeah.
He watches those tears. He knows what you're doing. He knows who's doing it to you. He knows what you're going through because he is tempted like as we are, but yet without sin.
Yep.
We got to follow him and let him take care of the thing. And the information he speaks of is how he will take care of his people.
Sure.
There's a reason why some people have to always revenge themselves. They don't have nobody to avenge them.
Yeah.
But when you get saved, he's not only your savior, he's also your avenger.
That's right.
You ever wonder why the world wants to have a movie where they're saving the world called The Avengers? They're trying to take the place of God. Ain't that cute? Nobody ever thinks about this stuff. And they say, man, see the new movie. Listen, that's what the world does. They want to get your mind off what's the business of God is. And God's business says, don't avenge yourself. Just pray. Don't faint. Keep going. Don't ever lose sight. Don't ever lose hope. Don't ever lose faith. Why? He's got this.
That's right.
And the whole thing about prayer is you want your prayer answered. Guess what? You got to pray.
Yeah.
Well, I prayed so and so long, and then I just got discouraged and quit. Well, start back.
Amen.
I say this, Brother Jason, you're the only one that can get mad at me because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you like I'm talking to you. That way I think it's to you, and they won't get mad at him. But some people just need to grow up and keep praying.
Yep.
You're not five no more.
Right.
All you five-year-olds, I apologize in advance, but the rest of you need to grow up and keep praying.
Right.
You know why? Everybody's dependent on your prayers.
Even.
They don't even know it.
Yeah.
Your enemies don't even know how you're praying for them. You probably don't think holding between them and hell right now.
Yeah.
Well, why is it this happens, this happens, this happens? Can I explain something to you? There's two types of things that happen. Here they are. Number one, that God commands.
Mm-hmm.
What's his command? Pray and faint not. You know what the devil does? Question. Don't act like the devil. Just pray.
Right.
Well, what about this? Never hear what? You sound just like the devil. Quit doing that. Listen, don't worry about them.
Yeah.
You ever seen that thing the Bible says, judge not, lest you also be judged? What that's talking about, it's not when you try to win somebody, Jesus, tell them they go into hell. That's not what it's talking about. That's the crowd's hollering, judge not. But for you, dear Christian, it means this. It means you take judge not, and you go out and take care of your own business. You ain't worried about nobody else. You're going to do the Father's will, whether they do it or not. You're going to do right, whether they do it or not. And if it seems unfair, take it back to the Father. And don't faint while you're doing it.
Amen.
Do you know that right now, no matter how, God always has a way of working things out in our lives. Every time I think I got it bad, I will always get around somebody that's got 10 times worse than me. And the first thing out of my mouth, you may have heard me say this before, I have no problems. As soon as I see it, I say, I have no problems. I'm just letting the Lord know, I ain't got no problems, Lord. You got all mine fixed. I thought I had problems. I saw that person. Lord, I'm going to start praying for them.
Yeah.
Instead of telling you, Lord, please take this thing from me. No, Lord, help them.
Yeah.
There's people out there right now that's got diseases on them. Ajax, Billy Graham, Benny Hinn, all that crowd can't wash off of them. And if God don't do it, they're going to die with it. I have zero problems. Zero. In fact, as soon as the rapture happens, what little bit of problems I have, I'll be settled in that second. I ain't worried about it.
Amen.
But I do know this. God has it under control. If somebody, listen, somebody comes wrong, does me something wrong like this woman got done here in this passage of Scripture, I ain't worried about it. You know why? God will take care of that. And he always does. Amen. The problem is God don't pay on Friday, so we don't think he's paying at all. And then one day you walk up on something and see something, it's like, ooh, God did take care of that thing. I'll tell you the craziest stuff I've seen in my life. I've lost touch with people that did me wrong, had them on a prayer list, prayed for them for years, walk into a graveyard and see their tombstone. You talking about a feeling, man. You're thinking, wow, God did take care of that. I'll go asking around, what happened to that person? Oh, you didn't know? No. They got ran over by a car. They got hit by a bus. I mean, just some crazy something. Cancer got on their tongue and ate their tongue out down to their throat. Man, after all that gossip, God was listening to prayer saying, Lord, help me. He's listening. Hey, God will do the same thing for you.
Yeah.
And he wants to.
Yeah.
But you got to keep praying.
That's right.
Let me put a real charismatic, spiritual type thing on you. There's somebody here today, I don't know who you are. You about to lose hope. Don't lose hope.
Yeah.
God's got you.
That's right.
Knees on floor. Prayers aimed at heaven. Bible open in front of you. God has you.
Amen.
And he wants to take care of your problem. And here's the thing. It's my favorite part. It ain't who you think it is. It's somebody I wouldn't even dream a million years got that problem. God's ringing your bell today saying, don't do it. Don't you dare quit now. Mm. You might be facing the answer Monday morning, and the Lord's right behind the door on that thing. But here's the thing. Whether it's Monday week, or Monday in 100 years, he's got this.
Right.
I noticed one other thing in verse 8. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. If I look up the word speedily, I want to see a NASCAR there. How fast them cars go? 260 mile an hour or something like that? I mean, it's crazy something. It's more than I care to drive. All I know is if the road they drive on is like this, that car's got to be going fast and not slide down to the bottom. I figured that much out. You got to get up ahead of steam to get around that thing. And to not fly off the end over there and all this other stuff. So when I see speedily, I'm thinking, Lord, you're going to answer today. But that's speedily in his time. But here's the problem, though. We said it ain't too fast in our time until God answers that prayer. And then we look back over the whole body of the day we started to the day he answered. And it looked like this when we started, but really it looks just like this. That's on our side of it. You know how it worked on God's side? You prayed, Jesus prayed, and God answered it.
Amen.
But down here, like I said, we start off here, then we look back on it like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that God's done in this building, with people in this building. We prayed, and God did it.
Yep.
Thank him for it.
Amen.
There's times that things have crossed you, and you prayed, and God took care of it. I don't want to call any names, but there's a guy in here told me about this guy trying to encroach on this widow's property. And he called me that morning and said, I got these verses about how you don't do that to widows in their property line. I never even knew that was in the Bible. Just never saw it. I said, well, call me and tell me how it works out. Well, the judge nailed that guy for trying to do that. You talking about an unjust judge. He named off the judge. I said, I can't believe that guy did the will of God. How'd that happen? Is in this book, somebody prayed it and said, God, that's what your word says. And boy, the Lord took that guy to task over it.
Mm.
And property lines ain't been the same since. Why? God stepped in.
Amen.
He literally avenged a widow in this neighborhood with that. I could take you out in the woods and show you the property line that's talking about. So what'd that do? Boy, it did wonders for me. That did wonders for me. That means that book's true and God intends to keep every word of it.
Amen.
And knowing that, he said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then Jesus throws a question out here. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What we are looking at with that question, we want to give this answer. Yes, he'll find faith. If he don't find it nowhere, he'll find it here. He'll find it here. Listen, friend, do you want your prayers answered? If you want your prayers answered, you have to pray.
Amen.
I have this thing called a prayer list. I don't know if you got one. I'm not talking about the one our church gives that. I got that one in mine. And the one at the church, it shows the things we pray for together on Wednesday night. We take it home. We got the missionaries. We got all the things we pray for on there. But on my prayer list, if somebody says pray for something, I write it down right then. I'm going to tell you why. I have this bad habit of forgetting things, out of sight, out of mind. And I'm the world's worst person, and I hate to say this, I know this on social media, but you people on Facebook, bless your hearts, talking about, well, I'll pray for you. Do you pray?
No.
I want them to stop writing, I'll pray for you, and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the least, stop what you're doing and pray right then.
Amen.
It won't hurt you. They'll think I'm a freak. They already think you're one. Do you believe the Bible? Yeah, you're a freak. Guilty. I believe that book right there comes straight from God.
Amen.
And He preserved every word of it.
Yeah.
Ain't no doubts in my mind. If that Bible said it, Peter said something, I believe he said it.
Yeah.
If it says John the Baptist said it, I believe he said it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it said Jesus got up from the dead for my sins, I believe it.
Yeah.
But I look at people and they say, well, pray, pray, pray. Write you out a prayer list. Keep that prayer list and watch this. Pray.
Amen.
Get along with your prayer list and pray. Pray all of it. Pray for the things on our prayer list on this night. Pray God help you during the day. Pray God forgive you your sins you committed. Pray God help you to do what His will is. Pray God save the sinners you know that are lost that you're praying for on that thing. You'd be surprised because, listen, one day you're going to write a date out there beside their name. You know what it is? The day they got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody going to say, listen, I had a friend, listen, they said, pray for him. He's in the hospital with renal failure. Do you know what renal failure is? Renal problems, I mean, you know what that is? That's kidney problems. You know, I wrote out there on prayer list. Put that guy's name right then when I saw it. Put it out there, and I've been praying for it every day. Brother Fane, them guys in the Philippines, pray I get such as our church needs this right here and this amount to do it with. So I put it down there with that amount right when I talked to him. I believe God's going to send it to them some way or another. I don't know how. But that ain't my part to worry about.
Yep.
I'm to pray and faint not. That's my part.
Amen.
You mean that's all the Lord wants us to do? That's it. You just sit there and pray and let God do it. Because there's some things you can't answer for people.
Right.
I've heard of people saying, well, I was praying and God wanted me to do such and such. He went and, done, he, and I went up and done that thing. That's fine. But a lot of things, He just wants you to pray. And He'll take care of it. And He may call on you to take care of it. He may call on somebody else to take care of it. But He wants to take care of it by your prayers. God can.
That's right.
And if people come along and say, well, I don't know if the Lord knows my... God can. Go find Him two words together in the Bible and see if He did.
Mm-hmm.
He can.
Amen.
God's not slack concerning His promises.
Yep.
We may tell somebody I'm praying for you, don't pray, but if we pray, God will take care of it.
Amen.
And here's the thing, without going in depth how you're supposed to pray and all this other stuff, one thing you've got to keep in memory is this. If you pray, God will answer.
Yes.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.